Language is a difficult problem sometimes in the gospel, and the other two readings from the scriptures today is an example of that. In the first reading, the prophet Isaiah is mentioned. And when he has a revelation of God that's this grand, glorious opening of the heavens and the choirs of angels singing Hosanna and this great glorified expression of God's presence, he's overwhelmed by it. Matter of fact, he feels his own sinfulness, his unworthiness. The Apostle Paul, in the second reading, talks about himself being an unworthy apostle, one of the least of the apostles, because he's chosen last. He also feels his unworthiness. And then the gospel, this wonderful story of Peter, where Jesus asked him to push out again to deeper water that they had just finished fishing hours before, through the dark of the night. He, in his frustration, and I'm sure his anger, though it's not mentioned, I'm sure it's there, he says, okay, if you insist, we'll do it again. And then when that turns into a miraculous catch, he falls to his knees and says, I'm unworthy to be in your presence because I'm a sinful man. At this Eucharist, just before communion, each one of us says, as a community, words just like this about being unworthy. We say it just before we receive as a body. We say that we're unworthy that you, the Lord, should come under my roof, but say but the word, my soul shall be healed. And here's where the problem is, I think, in our language. When we hear unworthy, we hear that as a judgment against ourselves. And we have enough pop psychology that says you have to have good self-worth, so it's you should never say you're unworthy. You should never say you're unfit to the life that you have. But when we hear that word, we hear judgment. And that word's hard for us. So may I offer you another way? Because the scripture seems to be clear about this. That Jesus' encounter with his own disciples, Peter, James, and John, the sons of Zebedee, and others, he's always there trying to make them see things as he sees it. And of course, they have a difficulty with this, right? Because they're like you and me. We have a lot of resistances in our life. We push back on God a lot. And one of these things is we say, oh, we're not worthy. You know, or God can't really love me because if God really, really, really loved me, he would be angry with me because of the things I've done or not done. And so we berate ourselves, we judge ourselves, and if that weren't enough, we judge each other as well. So we kind of spread the varmint of unforgiveness and unworthiness all around us. And you know what God does with this? He said to Peter, go back out through your resistance and go back out to the same place you were all through the night. He doesn't ask Peter to do something new and spectacular and different. He doesn't ask Peter to change his ways. He says, just go out and do the exact same thing you were doing and be prepared for something more. And like you and me, Peter probably says, I don't have any proof that that's going to happen. But if I don't do it, he's just going to keep insisting that I do, so I might as well get it done. How many times we've done that? So he pushes out. He goes through his resistance, and he pushes out. And what happens? God meets him in his unworthiness. Ah. Meets him in his sinfulness. Oh. I do not have to be sinless to meet God. Oh. I don't have to make myself look worthy in order to meet Jesus face to face. Oh. this is beyond anything I've ever known. And so the gospel says they were all amazed by this, amazed by what they saw. The key to this gospel is one that you and I don't like to do, but is required of us. We have to know what our resentments are in life. The things that we say we can't do anymore, we refuse to do. The places where we get fatigued and tired in our relationship with God. The places that we resist. And for it could be almost anything in our life. It could be places of unforgiveness. It could be places of judgment where we judge other people, what they do and how they say and the way they look. It could be our own sense of like, you know, I have to take care of myself, so everybody else is going to have to do it on their own. Whatever resentment there is in your life, God does not ask you to remove the resentment and then come and meet him. Jesus says, walk through your resentment and meet me there. Because you can't free yourself from your resentment. But Jesus says, I can. That's the great catch of grace that God offers us. And you know, if you think about it, it's not really unworthiness that Isaiah and Peter and Paul were talking about. What they were really saying is, once that kind of sat in with them and they understood that Jesus was inviting us to go forward and meet him, they realized that it wasn't unworthiness they were feeling. They were feeling a lack of humility. And that's really the virtue that converts us, friends. When you and I are humble enough to know that we are not like God in many things. And to be like God is a difficult journey of life. And that most of us only take one step at a time, hoping to draw closer to the mystery of God. But every step taken in that direction, God increases. That's why that image of the scripture, that the catch that the disciples gathered was beyond measure. It's beyond measure. It's what grace is. You can't measure grace, and God doesn't parcel it out. God lets it flow abundantly. So here at this Eucharist, when you come forward later, after all of us have said, Lord, I am not worthy, don't think of yourself as being unworthy of grace. Think rather of the resistances in you that become the fertile ground where you meet Jesus face to face. And then as you receive the body and the blood of the Lord in the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist, when you receive Jesus himself, recognize in your receiving, this is the one you meet with a humble heart. And this is the one that can set you free from anything in your life that pushes you away from him, any way in which you resist grace. Because you can't make yourself holy, but God can.